Awesome. And without any further ado, please welcome Pastor Chris.
Thank you, Nathan. Bless you. Good morning, church. Lovely to see you this morning, and lovely to see Jacko and Jackie here with us today. And your mum. Lovely to see you with us too. Well, welcome, church, and welcome, everybody. Welcome anyone who I see there's new faces here today, and I just want to say, if we haven't been formally introduced before, make sure that before you go today, you come and shake my hand and say hello. All right, is that okay? I'd love to meet you. But today we're at Vision Sunday, and before we get started, the Lord has put on my heart, He wants us to do something here today. So can I ask you to do something for me? Can I ask you to all stand to your feet for a second? Okay, this is important. I believe the Lord wants to release something today before we go any further. Proverbs tells us that eyes that see and ears that hear, the Lord creates them both. And so today I believe the Lord wants to release over us eyes that can see what He is doing in the earth. Amen? So if you want that today, raise your hands. Will I pray for you? Heavenly Father, I ask, Father, that you would do as you have said. I pray, Father, that you would release today over us as a congregation, as a church, as a body. I pray, Father God, that you would release to us eyes that can see what you are doing in the earth. I pray for eyes that are blinded, eyes that have had cataracts, eyes that have been distracted in the past, Lord, that you would have mercy, that you would unblock the vision. I pray for 2020 vision, Father, for us as a people to see what it is that you are doing in the earth. I pray, Father, for heavenly perspective, for eternal perspective to be graced upon us today. And so in Jesus' name, I pray that your anointing fall in a miraculous way right now, that you would grace us all with eyes that can see. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. God bless you, church. I love when God just lets us know something that is happening before, ahead of time. Because when we talk about Vision Sunday, when we come and we have this talk every year, what this talk is, it's a recalibration, it's a refocusing, it's a getting back to just the basics and looking forward to what God is doing. Amen? When we talk about vision, we need to think about it and talk about it in the context of the world around us and in the timeline of God. And as prophetic people, we know what to do because we know that we're a part of God's great story. Amen? And we can see the signposts that tell us roughly where we are in that story. And we know what God has said is coming. And when we seek God for direction, we do so to navigate the path that we need to take to stay on the right side of the move of God on this earth. Amen? Proverbs says that where there is no vision, the people perish, and the people who keep the law, happy are they. Amen? So we want vision. Amen? I'll be asking you to say amen today. I want to know that you're listening to me. I want to know that this is resonating with you. I want to know that you have eyes that can see what the Lord is doing in the earth, okay? So when I ask you to say amen, please say amen. Hallelujah. Thank you very much. So we live in this world. I don't know if you've noticed, but it seems like mankind has forever been asking this question, what is the meaning of life? Why are we here? And we can see the people all around us, even ourselves, we chase after things looking for fulfillment in our life. We look for affirmation in money, in wealth, in relationships, in power. And we see also that in mankind we have this problem where we see it happen to everyone else, but we think it'll be different for us, where people who find those things and who spend half their life looking for them find them, and yet even though we achieve what we set out to do, we still feel empty. In Ecclesiastes, the teacher says this. He says, meaningless, meaningless, says the teacher. Utterly meaningless. Everything is meaningless. Why is there a void in humanity? Because God, I believe, created us for more than the here and now. In Ecclesiastes 3:11, he says that he has made everything beautiful in its time. And he has also set eternity in the human heart. And no one can fathom what God has done from beginning to end. And what I believe that means is we're very finite beings living in a universe way too vast for our comprehension. And so we search for meaning in the stuff that's around us. But built within inside us is a yearning for more than what we can experience with our five senses. God placed eternity inside man. Amen? There's a part that's missing. So what we know to be true, if you've been reading along with us, if you've been paying attention, is that God, before sin came along, before the curse fell on the earth, is that one, God made man a social creature. Is that two, God gave him work to do. Three is that God had fellowship with man. And that four, God gave man dominion over the earth. And God gave us these things to bring fulfillment to our life. But all of these things, especially number three, were severely damaged by the fall and the resulting curse that came upon the earth. And this is where the compulsion to seek meaning in our lives comes from, I believe. If we skip forward from the beginning to the end, we see that in Revelation, God reveals that he will destroy the present earth and heavens and usher in the eternal state by creating a new heaven and a new earth. And at that time, he will restore the full fellowship with those who are redeemed. While those who have rejected God, those who have chosen to define good and evil for themselves, those who have rejected Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, they'll face judgment for their sin and they'll be deemed unworthy and cast into the lake of fire. Now behind me I've got the scripture references. They're not what the scripture says. I'm paraphrasing here because it would take forever to read all these scriptures. In that time the curse of sin will be dead, will be done away with. There will be no more sin, there will be no more sorrow, no more sickness, no more death, no more pain. And God will dwell with us and we shall be his sons and daughters. And we'll come full circle back to where God intended for us to be in the beginning, in the eternal state. That's the story of God. That's the wonderful story of a God who loves us and who cares for us. And who rescues us and continues to rescue us. And he's working in the earth, even today. Even today, he is working to hurry along that timeline so that we are back, restored in fulfillment of what he originally set it out to do. Amen? And so as prophetic people, when we talk about Vision Sunday, the first thing we need to understand is that we are somewhere between the beginning and the end of that story. Amen. God's story has been continuing since the events of the Bible have finished. And we're all a part of that story. Did you know that? It's important to understand that since the events of the Bible were finished and recorded, God is still active on the earth today. He has preserved his church throughout all of history. Through the rise and fall of kingdoms and empires, throughout all of recorded history, Christianity has prevailed despite countless forces that would try and see it destroyed. And not only has he preserved it from external forces, he has preserved the church from itself erring in one way or another. And just as we read about Israel and the heroes of the faith straying from the covenants that they made with God throughout the narrative of the Bible, the church has done the same throughout parts of our history. But just as we read about God sending prophets and judges to instruct and deliver Israel time and time again, he has done the same to his church throughout history. We know these times as revivals, as reformations. And any student of church history knows that a revival or a reformation is an exciting time where God intervenes in a drastic and miraculous way. And he changes the course of the church from there on in. Amen. We're sitting here today as a result of a few of those. And so this is why we want to be an apostolic and prophetic people that base our lives on prayer. So that we are on the right side of a move of God. We need to understand that we are one part of the body in one part of the story, and that'll help us understand our vision today. Did you know that we are in a prophesied time of revival? Did you know that? Say that I live in a prophesied time of revival. There was a man named Pedro Fernando de Quiros who arrived in Australia at 1606, and he said this: "Let heaven and earth, the waters with all their creatures and all those present witness that I, Captain Pedro Fernandez de Quiros, in the name of Jesus Christ, hoist this emblem of a holy cross on which Jesus Christ's person was crucified and whereon he gave his life for the ransom and remedy of all the human race. On this day of Pentecost, 14th of May, 1606, I will take possession of all this part of the south as far as the pole in the name of Christ Jesus, which from now on shall be called the Great Southland of the Holy Ghost." That was spoken over our country in 1606. In the Bible, a name is a very important thing. Oftentimes, a name will speak of the character of the person, the events in their life, or even prophesy the destiny of that person. In Australia, the place you live, the place I live, is called the Great Southland of the Holy Spirit. It was granted that name in 1606. Moving forward 300 years, we see the great evangelist and man of God, Smith Wigglesworth, prophesy regarding Australia, saying, "You have been chosen by God for a great move of the Holy Spirit. This move will be the greatest move of God ever known to mankind's history and will begin towards the end of the 20th century and move into the 21st century. This move of God will start a great revival in Australia and will spread throughout the world." That places us smack bang in the middle of that. Amen. Come on, give me an amen. Amen. So for those who have eyes to see, let them see that this is an exciting time to be alive. Amen. For those who have eyes to see, let them see that it's an exciting time to be following Jesus. For those who don't have eyes to see God moving in the earth, unfortunately, they're doomed to be caught up in worry and hopelessness. Those who don't have eyes to see will focus on their own lives, their own problems, their own desires and wants. They'll focus on world events, and they'll begin to give in to despair. They will believe that this world will continue forever the way it's going and not give a second thought to the fact that Jesus Christ could come back today. They'll say to themselves that they have time to deal with their sin, and so they'll tolerate it in their lives. And they'll say that they have, they'll keep records of the wrongs that people have done to them, and that'll be their excuse to carry on the way they're going. The people I'm talking about are the very same I was talking about in the beginning, running around looking for meaning in this life in the pursuit of temporary things that are here today, gone tomorrow. And sadly, within the church, we are not exempt necessarily from that. Those who are lukewarm amongst us will choose to ignore that we are a part of the greatest story ever told, and that God still sends his prophets today to instruct his people. Amen? They'll chase the popular pastors and ministers, and they'll chase feelings, wanting to get their ears tickled. They'll seek God for the things that he can give them rather than his presence in their lives. They'll shy away from any kind of suffering involved with doing what's right and only associate the blessings to their circumstances of God's intervention with their lives. Those who choose not to see will be caught in petty rivalries between churches, between people in their own church, between people in their own families. And those people will miss all that God is doing, and if they harden their hearts, they'll be spat out of heaven on the day of judgment. The reason I bring this up today, church, is because God is doing something in the world today. And we are not those people. We are prophetic and apostolic people, and we are not like that. God is busy working in our midst today. God is busy working in our city. He's working in our nation. And he's destroying all those things. He's busy working in amongst it. We have been blessed as prophetic people to have eyes that can see what God is doing in the earth. We do not look to world events to decide whether or not we should have peace or whether we should worry. We do not look to the right or to the left to see what other people are doing. We just focus on Jesus and following him to stay in step with what heaven is doing. Amen? We act accordingly. And as your pastor, I only have the authority to tell you what I see him doing in our church or what he's showing us to do. But as an apostolic and prophetic follower of Jesus Christ, I can tell you this. With my eyes that I can see what the Lord is doing in the earth, I can tell you that I see he's busy with men and women all over this city. That we are indeed in a time of reformation and revival. I can see that the time of the celebrity pastor is done. It's over. And the time for the servant leader is here. I can see the emergence of the fivefold ministry within the church, and I see the saints being equipped for the ministry, growing up into the fullness of the knowledge of the Son of God, reaching unity in the faith. I can see it. I see God moving. I see the church in the city becoming a house of prayer. I see God organizing Christians and putting them in positions of service and influence. I see more and more the church affecting its community around it for the better. As Christians take their faith outside of a Sunday, and God is busy developing in them the heart for the lost. I'm reminded of the parable of the sheep and the goats, and more I see in this city sheep. We're seeing the new wineskin Christianity that we've been preached so long. I see Smith Wigglesworth's prophetic word coming to pass. And it's important that we see that this is not something that happens in the blink of an eye. You know, one thing I've really learned is that in the Bible, over two pages, 500 years can go past. That's not a very long time reading, but I tell you what, for people living there, that's a very long time for God to move. And so if it says it began late 20th century and moving into the 21st century with 2018, we're 18 years at least into this thing. And I've been around since I was 12, so that puts me at 18. I've seen 18 years worth of this journey, and I can tell you, because God has let me see what he's doing, that God is moving, and we are indeed a part of his great story. We are indeed a blessed people. We are living in revival and reformation, church. Amen. I hope that excites you, because I tell you what, if it doesn't, you're either lukewarm, cold, or dead, and you don't want to be any of those things. Amen. I'm going to sidetrack just for 1 second. The three types of people in this world. I wanted to do this to the end, but I'll do this now. The three types of people in this world. There is the hot, the cold, and the lukewarm. And Revelation 3 says this, is that because you are neither hot nor cold, because you were lukewarm, I spat you out of my mouth. Today, church, is the call to be hot. To be hot. You know, we've talked a lot about the journey that we're on. We've talked about the fact that this is a journey, that if you're not getting it right today, don't worry about that. That's fine. We're on a journey. But I want to make a caveat there. And I want to say that only applies to the hot. That only applies to the hot. If you are in Jesus Christ, there is no condemnation for you. If you're following Jesus with all your heart and you're having trouble with where you're at, don't worry about that. God will sort that out in your life. That does not apply to the lukewarm. That does not apply to the lukewarm. If you're saying, I'm okay where I'm at and I'm not even trying, I've got bad news for you. You're about to be spat out. Amen? And I'm not pointing my finger at you. I don't know why I'm pointing my finger, but I'm saying that's the case. That's just the case, is that we want to be hardcore followers of Jesus Christ, especially in these times, now more than ever. Now more than ever, you see, God is moving. This is an active time for God in the earth. We want to be on the right side of this move of God. We don't want to let us pass us by. And so we, as individuals, as Christians, need to be hot for God, not cold, not lukewarm. But if you're lukewarm and you can't make your mind up, rather be cold than be lukewarm. Amen. Rather be cold. God said, I wish you were either warm or I wish you were either hot or cold. Don't be lukewarm. Today, it's not the time for a lukewarm Christian. All of those things I can see God doing, God is doing them as a remedy to the things he needs to do. You see, because when God moves and when God starts his reformation and his revival, he starts within his house, amen. He has to do away with the celebrity pastor idea. He has to do away with this idea that a pastor is anything other than a human being. Just a person who's given his life to leading the sheep. He has to do away with the idea that it's okay to pretend to be something that you're not. He has to do away with this idea that we can judge each other based on anything because we're insecure. God works first with his church, and he shows them that we are the image and likeness of him, that we are okay on this journey, that following Jesus Christ is a wonderful journey. He starts there. He starts there before it goes out into the world. Amen? Amen. Right, well, I'm going to go back onto my thing before I get too far off track. If you have eyes that can see what the Lord is doing, then God bless you. Because we are in the midst of a great revival. However, we haven't seen the fullness of this revival yet. Amen? We are in the midst of it, but we have not seen the fullness of this. And this is why we need a vision. A vision is looking ahead towards something that we don't yet have a hold of, but we are journeying towards. Amen? So that's why many of you may have heard me talk about this exact thing before, and I will continue talking about it because we want to keep our eyes fixed on the horizon, the point on the horizon where we're heading towards, because it's so easy to lose our vision. Vision leaks. A vision is looking ahead towards something that we don't yet have a hold of, but we are journeying towards. See, God is busy across the nation working with churches just like ours, individuals just like you and me. And each church, each house of God, each Christian, each family has their own assignment. It's our own part to play. And God gave us the assignment of being the apostolic and prophetic center for the nations based on a foundation of prayer. So I've been talking about God's big story, and I'm going to bring it into just us for a minute. God gave us that assignment. And we followed him for years as he brought us closer to the realization of that assignment. And today our humble church is closer than it's ever been. With OCP, OCN, I-60 and Hope WA establishes their own entities, but birthed from this vision, we see more people released to their calling than ever before. And with them being established the way they are, it has brought a change in the way we do things organizationally. It's brought about a change in the rhythm and the pace in which we, church, OCP, do things. We are seeing the outworking of this reformation moving from a place of groundbreaking and laying foundations to building on those foundations, church. I'm going to say that again. We're seeing the natural outflowing of this reformation, the fivefold ministry being established within this church. We've been a church that for years has broken the ground, has laid the right foundations. And as a church, we're now moving into a season where we're building on those foundations. It was late last year where we felt God was asking us, is OCP a move of God or a house of God? And because of our DNA, it seemed like it wasn't right to say that we are a house of God because of who we are and what we're accomplishing. But then God showed us that with OCN, they're carrying on the work of the Reformation. Hope WA is continuing to build the house of prayer in this city. I-60 out there in the community. I remember the first thing I remember Pastor Paul saying that made me want to stick around here and plant my roots here. Was he said, you know how you know if your church is effective? If it shut its doors, would the community even notice? I thought I'd get involved in that. And I believe with I-60 doing all the great things that they're doing, the community would definitely notice if we shut our doors. Amen? So we believed that it was time for OCP to spend a season to focus on being the house of God at the end of last year. Now, this is a natural part of the process for Fivefold Church, and we're playing our part in the great story. It's a season of moving from breaking new ground and establishing foundations in this reformation to building on those foundations. In short, a shift is happening from what needs to be done to who we need to become as our primary focus. Amen. Let me know that you're hearing me. Last year, God gave us the focus. He said that I want you to allow me to develop in you a heart for the lost and a heart for the next generation. And when we sought God for our focuses this year, we believe that that focus has not run its course. That we did better at some of it than we did for others. He's not finished developing his heart within us. And we believe God's saying that if we are going to gain God's heart for the lost and the next generation, then he first needs to do a work in our hearts to show us how he sees us. Before we can love the lost, he's refining the way that we love each other. As a church, he's going to teach us how to make a more congregational approach to raising our next generation. And we believe that God this year is going to show us what it means to be made in his image and his likeness. God is restoring human relationships. God is restoring his church to the fulfillment of the works of their hands. God is restoring us to the understanding about what it means to have dominion over this earth. And most importantly, he is restoring his fellowship with his creation in a new way. Now that should excite you. I'm going to repeat that. God is restoring his fellowship with his creation in a new way. God is restoring his fellowship with his creation in a new way. That's you and me. God wants this year to bless you with his presence in your life. God wants to bless you with his presence in your life. I would have thought that would have got more of a reaction, if I'm honest with you. That's the whole point for me. That's the whole point of following him, is to have his presence in my life. The focus is shifting from what needs to be done to who we need to become. This is exciting news, church. You know, this year we're going through the scriptures together. This is going to be an amazing thing. If you're not yet doing this, then jump on. Even if you like, start where we are now and then, you know, catch up in your spare time later. Don't try and start. If you haven't started already, don't try and start at 1 and then catch up, because it'll be too hard. You won't do it. Just start where we are. Read scripture with us. Talk about it amongst yourselves. You know, we're going to learn about God. We're going to learn about him from his word, the way he intended for us. You know, God, you know how I know God values study? Because he decided to write a book about himself. You know, he intended for us to get to know him through his word. He intended for us to get to know him through his son, Jesus Christ. And sure, it's not all about what we understand or what we can comprehend. He also made you feeling, and he made you emotional. And that's a great thing too. God can work through all of those things. This year, we're going to go through the Bible together. We're going to learn about it. We're going to discuss it in home groups. We're going to discuss it around the dinner table. We're going to have nights of encountering Jesus. We're going to pray and fast just to seek his face. Amen. And I guarantee you that this is exciting for me, because for all that we set out to accomplish, this is our part in it, in our story right now. You see, because we can do one of two things. We can make our own mind up about what is right and what is wrong, or we can just follow what heaven is doing. Amen. We can either go and push ahead with something, or we can just follow what the rhythm of heaven is doing. And if we follow the rhythm of what heaven is doing, church, if we focus ourselves, if we push in to knowing God this year, if we work on beholding him and becoming like him this year, then all of the ends will be dealt with by him. We worry about the journey, he'll worry about the destination. Amen. This is how we accomplish God's purposes on the earth. This is how we stay on the right side of the move of God. Amen. This is the season that we're moving into. It's a very exciting one for me. God bless everything that he has done so far, and God bless everything he's going to do. I don't believe it's going to slow down one bit. I believe as more people get to know who they are, become more and more like Jesus, the more people are going to be empowered, more people are going to see breakthrough, more people are going to be released into their calling. I believe that. Wherever it is for you, wherever it is. You know, I sit at a staff meeting on a Monday morning, a staff prayer, and look around and it's like, wow, this place is getting crowded. What a great problem to have. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We believe that the key to accomplishing God's purposes on the earth is to stay in step with where heaven is going. Our job is to behold him, learn about him, press into him, let him change us, let him challenge us, build up our families in the way that we should go. I just want to read the parable of the wise virgins. So if you could turn with me in your Bibles, if you haven't, to Matthew 25, verse 1 to 13. I'm going to assume you're all there because you'll know where Matthew is. It's more towards the back. Matthew 25, 1 to 13, it says this: Then the kingdom of heaven will be like 10 virgins who took their lamps and went out to meet the bridegroom. Five of them were foolish and five were wise. Those that were foolish, when they took their lamps, took no oil with them, but the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. Now, while the bridegroom delayed, they all slumbered and slept. But at midnight, there was a cry. Behold, the bridegroom is coming. Come out to meet him. Then all those virgins arose, and they trimmed their lamps. And the foolish said to the wise, give us some of your oil, for our lamps are going out. But the wise answered, saying, what if there isn't enough for us and you? You go rather to those who sell and buy for yourselves. And while they went away to buy, the bridegroom came, and those who were ready went in to him to the marriage feast, and the door was shut. Afterwards, the other virgins came also, saying, Lord, Lord, open to us. But he answered, most certainly I tell you, I don't know you. Watch therefore, for you don't know the day nor the hour in which the Son of Man is coming. I don't know about you, but that should drive a sense of urgency in you today. Amen. This is the way I understand that story. I think the fact that they were all virgins is nothing to do with the story, except for the fact that they were meeting a bridegroom. They all fell asleep, so it's not about falling asleep. I think the main part of this story was that there were some who were ready for Jesus when he returned and there were some that weren't. Now, I don't think that they were being selfish or mean when they didn't share their oil. I think the type of oil that they had could not have been shared. That's why they said, you've got to go and buy some for yourself. And that's the truth for all of us, church. You can't get oil by association. You've got to get your own oil. Oil, the oil of the lamp that guides your path, that oil comes drip by drip, drip by drip. It comes from obedience following Christ. It comes from the peace of mind that comes with righteous living. It comes with an accumulation of knowledge. How you see things. You read your Bible, you understand God, things happen in your life, and you understand God even better. You trust him, you walk with him, you walk with faith, not by sight. It's a building up of the relationship you have with God. A lifestyle of prayer, that is your oil that will guide your lamp, that will light your lamp, that will guide your path, amen? So church, I believe this, is that we are very close to the end of this story. Say amen if you agree with me. I think we're close. I think we're closer than we've ever been. And I know people have said to me before that people in the Middle Ages were saying the same thing. And you know what? I don't care if we live for another 400 years on this planet. I still think it's the right way to have your mind set. You know why? Because I look around and I can see the signposts that God told us would be here. And God told us to be ready no matter what anyway. So I will make this decision, is that I will live ready for Christ to return to if he comes back today. Hallelujah. Amen. So church, I hope there's an urgency within you today. I hope there's an excitement within you today. I mean, you just think about whatever it is that excites you most on this earth. I guarantee you this, is that if it's not Jesus Christ, eventually you'll find out that it's a counterfeit. Because that's what we all long for. That's what we all long for. And he wants it more than you and I want it. And he's telling us this year, seek after me, church. Come looking for me. Cry out to me. I will answer you. I will answer you if you cry out to me earnestly. So church, let's be hot. Amen? Let's be hot. If you decide that you want to be lukewarm this year, then you'll get the reward of a lukewarm person. Let me make no mistake here. If you decide to be hot, you will know God greater than you ever have done by the end of this year. If you decide that you want to be lukewarm, then you will receive the reward of a lukewarm person. I don't want to be spat out on the day of judgment, I'll tell you that much. Christianity doesn't work if you're just half in. Amen? Why would you want to do anything else? I honestly don't understand. If I was going to be lukewarm, I'd rather be cold. Christianity is a religion, if it's not a real relationship, is going to be a shackle around your ankle. Really, if all it is to you is coming to church on a Sunday, I don't know why you bother. So let's decide to be hot, church. Amen? Amen. Right. Here's what I want to do. God told us that he's going to show us that three things. That you are the image and likeness of God. He's going to help you to understand what that means exactly. He wants us to understand that this is a journey that we are on. If you're hot, this applies to you. He wants us to understand that where you are is fine if you're following Jesus. If you're repentant in your heart and your actions don't yet match up, if you still lose your temper, if you still get down, if you're still depressed, if you still have problems, that's fine. God is bigger than that. He can work with that. And so don't be ashamed of where you are in your journey. Everyone in this room is on a journey. Everyone here is here to help. Amen. Nobody can look to anybody else and say that I'm further along than you or I'm doing better than you. Amen. If you knew Jesus, you would know that that's not true. And if you would look at anyone, you'd say, but by the grace of God, go I. We have no righteousness of ourselves. This is a journey. And then I think the reading through Genesis has helped us to understand that is when we look at all the characters, every single one of them had a blunder or two in their lifestyle, in their lifetime. So church, understanding this is that God wants to reinstate you. He wants to restore the presence in your life. He wants to make you know what it means to be made in his image and likeness. Secondly, he wants you to know that this is a journey and he's willing to walk it with you. He's willing to walk it with you. Thirdly, is that God, I think, is busy changing our markers for success. God is busy changing our markers for success. Church, just thinking about it logistically, if love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control are not in abundance in your life, then things aren't going well for you. I don't say that with judgment. I'm just saying that's how you look at it. That's the fruit of the Spirit. As a Christian, you live your life in the Spirit. If you live your life in the Spirit, then the fruit of the Spirit should be manifesting itself in your life. Amen. Do you follow my logic? God's going to change his markers for success. Who cares how many skills you have? God gave them to you anyway. Use them. God's going to change his markers for success this year. And it's all to say this is that God loves you very much. And in this great, great, great story that we get to be a part of, God is going to save people by the multitude. He's going to do all the things he promises in the last days. He's going to use you and me. He's going to use you and me. But for this next season, for this next step, what God wants us to focus on is Him. Amen. Why don't you stand to your feet, church? If you want to be a hot Christian following Jesus with everything you have, then repeat this prayer after me. Lord God, I love you. I thank you that you love me first. Lord, I want to know you the way you intend for me to know you. Help me to get out of the way. Help me with my insecurity. Help me with my hurts. Help me with whatever it is that's standing in my way. I don't want to go through lukewarm Christianity. I don't want to go through dead religion. I want to know your presence in my life. I want to know your miraculous power in my life. I invite you, Lord, come into my heart. I invite you, Lord, take over the steering wheel. Tend my garden. And I pray that the fruit of the Spirit would be manifest in my life this year as I follow you. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you, church.